Come on, we can do better than that. I know the Lord is good. Hallelujah. 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 Praise God. Husbands, look at your wife. Grab her by the hand. Look at her. Men, repeat after me. Girl, you make the Queen of Sheba look like a hobo. Look at her. Look at her. Tell her, say, I know why Solomon had 300 wives. Because he never met you. Some of you guys are going to have to up your game a little bit. Grab her by the hand. Look at her one more time. We got daughters in the mix. You're just trying to, I don't know what's going on over here. Men, repeat after me. If you were president, you'd be Abraham Lincoln. Hold on, hold on. One more. I just felt something in the Holy Ghost. Look at her. Grab her by the hand. Tell her, say, I can't tell if that was an earthquake or if you just rocked my world. Give the Lord a hand clap. Praise God. Isn't the Lord good? He's so good. So thankful for Antioch. Thankful for your pastor and their family. I love all the children and now the three of the spouses and James. We love all of them. Nothing more important, I believe, than a godly example. Pastors are not ranchers. They're shepherds. The difference is a rancher drives, a shepherd leads. And I'm thankful we've got a shepherd that leads. Now, marriage retreat will probably happen next year. It won't be as good without me. But I want to encourage you to go ahead and just kind of get through the next couple of years. So you can forget how awesome I am. You're going to love me. You couldn't have brought anybody better. And you're just lucky I stayed over. Hallelujah. So you got a little man mentality. You better believe it. I'm bigger than you think I am. I put my heels on before I got here. Thank you, Lord, for making me so awesome. And the fact that everybody loves me. And praise God. I told him yesterday, you're gonna like me. You can't help yourself. I preach my stature short. So, how about we see what the Lord will do? I feel miracles in this place. If you will, grab your Bibles. We'll get right to the Word of the Lord. I'd like for us to look at the 78th Psalm. 78th Psalm. And let's look at verse 40. We'll read down a little bit from there. How oft did they provoke him in the wilderness, grieve him in the desert? I want to say that. How often did they provoke him in the wilderness and grieve him in the desert? Yea, they turned back and tempted God and limited the Holy One of Israel. The air conditioners just came on. Hallelujah. I told them yesterday, one of the ones I told them to grab their wife's hand, and I said, is it hot in here or is it just you? So I guess we need the air. Verse 57, but turned back and dealt unfaithfully like their fathers. They were turned aside like a deceitful bow, like a deceitful bow. I'd like to turn to one more portion of scripture if I can, 2 Kings chapter 4. Chapter 4, verse 4, and when thou art come, thou shalt shut the door upon thee and upon thy sons, and shall pour out into all those vessels which thou hast set aside, and set aside that which is full. And so she went from him and shut the door upon her sons, and brought the vessels to her, and she poured out. And it came to pass when the vessels were full, that she said unto her sons, bring me yet a vessel. And he said unto her, there is not a vessel more. And the oil stayed. And the oil stayed. I want to preach for just the next few minutes. And I will tell you, God gave me a word for the church. We'll see about tonight. I got to do good so some of these people come back. So I'm going to try to do good. But I want to give you a word. Here it is. I want to preach this morning. The limit is on us. The limit is on us. God is not limited. Whatever the need is in this house, God is not limited. Now see, when I say that, there's about 50% that really get excited about it. The other 50% just kind of like, I don't know. If you're filled with the Holy Ghost and you're baptized in Jesus' name, when the preacher makes a statement of proclamation, faith needs to be mixed with the word that's preached. God is not limited. This morning, I believe we can come out of here and see great miracles. Come on, clap your hands to the Lord as you're seated this morning. Hallelujah. God bless you. You can be seated. And I begin to read scripture, and we begin to find out who God is. God is limitless. He is continually, he spreadeth, or he is spreading the stars in the universe. It is still in creation just simply by his spoken word. God fills all time and space, and actually he lives even outside of it. He is that eternal God. The scripture says that we are fearfully and wonderfully made. I'm amazed just simply to understand the greatness of God and how unlimited he is in what he does. There is no one, you've heard this, that has a fingerprint like you have. There's no one that has eyes like you have. There's no one that has ears like you have. There's no one that has a nose. That's why you see all those folks masked up, because they can tell just by your ears. And we come to church and we feel like God is limited in what He can do on a Sunday morning in Arnold, Maryland. God is not limited. I'm just amazed. It's Elisha. He's just walking along, and there cried a certain woman. Now, I'm just going to stop and say here, just for a moment, your cry makes a difference. Hallelujah. Someone thinks, well, if things just get bad enough, God will surely see that I'm in trouble. Surely the pastor will recognize we're in a mess. Our marriage is a mess. My life's a mess. Our finances is a mess. It's all a mess. Somebody's got to see that. Somebody's got to recognize that I'm in trouble. I'm telling you, it got so bad in Egypt. I mean, it was bad. Taskmasters, slavery, trouble. They were killing babies when they came out of the womb. That didn't work. So then they take all the male children and throw them in the river with the crocodiles that eat them. Didn't change anything until they cried. God said, by the reason of their cry. You know what? God's just waiting on you to realize, I need Him. I gotta cry out. Something's gotta happen in your spirit where you say, on this Sunday morning, everything's gonna change because I realize I'm gonna cry out to God. Come on, use your voice a little bit. The Bible says, with the mouth, confession is made. It's the cry that got this story started. It's the cry. She cried. She shrieked. The scripture says, wife of the sons of the prophet to Elisha, and said, Thy servant, my husband is dead. I knowest that thy servant did fear the Lord, but the creditor has come to take unto him my two sons to be bondmen. Leviticus 25 tells us that those bondmen, they would have to work off the debt that their father had created. This was not a debt that they had made. And now she was about to lose her sons. And the creditors come and time is up. I just don't understand sometimes. We get to that place of desperation. Can I preach to us just a little bit and preach what I feel this morning? See, the limit's not on God. It's really not. And, you know, sometimes we come to that place where this is a terminology we use in the Midwest, where the rubber meets the road. And I was thinking of Jacob, and he's wrestling with the angel, remember? He's wrestling with the angel, and... They wrestled all night long, okay? And they're wrestling and they're wrestling and they're wrestling. And finally, the angel says this. This is what he said. He said, I've got to go, for the day breaketh. Remember that? I've heard tons of people preach about, well, angels have got an appointment in the throne room of God. Angels got to go, and then they got to go do this, and they got to go do that. And so the angel had to leave, and he said, the day breaks, the day's up, and I've got to go. But it wasn't about the angel having to go. It was about Jacob. His day had come to meet Esau and to face all the trickery. And that's why I said, I'll not let you go. He was desperate. Hallelujah. Someone needs some hunger and some desperation today. Because that's what gets God's attention. If you can live with it or without it, then you don't really want what God has to offer. But when you make up your mind, I don't care if you touch my hip, I don't care how long I wrestle, I'm not going to let you go until you. It wasn't on God, it was on Jacob. This woman. The creditors come. I got to pay the price. Woo. Elisha said unto her, listen now, what shall I do for thee? This is a question that is never answered. Because in our humanity, I can do nothing. So what shall I do for thee? In other words, there's really nothing I can do. And when humanity realizes it's bigger than you and it's bigger than me, that's when God can step in. Tell me, this is what he does say though, tell me what's in your house. In other words, what Elisha's saying is, don't tell me what you don't have. Tell me what you do have. You'll get that in a moment. It'll settle in. Let me try it another way. When Jesus had preached to the multitude and they needed a meal, remember? He said, I want you to go out and find what we got here. What do we have? We got to feed the people. And the disciples say, well, we don't have 300 pence. That was a year's salary. So we don't have a year's salary to feed all these people. Jesus said, I didn't ask you what you didn't have. I asked you what you had. They said, we've got two fish and five loaves. And the Lord said, that's enough to feed everybody and have 12 baskets left over. I'm trying to preach to someone this morning. It's not about what you don't have. What do you have? I've still got a praise. I've still got my voice. I still have a hallelujah. I still have an opportunity. Come on, let's use our voice. Hallelujah. Come on, let the Lord hear you right now. Hey! Come on, he's going to hear my cry. He's going to hear, he's asking me, what do I have? I just have a little faith. How little is your faith? It's just the size of a mustard seed.
God said, I can work with that. If you'll just have a little faith, he said, I'll move mountains for you. I am not limited. You give me your limited stuff, and I'll make it limitless. Well, about half of us' faith starting to rise. Come on, I'm not going to preach long. Come on, I feel faith operating in this house. Come on, whatever you have to give to him. Look, God, I could barely just make it here today. God said, I can work with that. I can work with you coming in the door. I can work with you lifting a hand. I've learned not to overpreach. The Lord said, go find some vessels. Go find me some vessels. The oil did not stay until there were no more vessels. The limit. Is on us. I got more to preach. I'm not going to do it. The Holy Ghost is in here. Right where we're at is where I ask God for. I could preach a little longer. That's right, sis. You go ahead and get what you need. Come on, I wish somebody else would get as desperate as my dear sister is this morning. God is trying to do something. Somebody, I know what somebody's saying. I'm not getting much out of this. That's because you haven't brought anything to the table. God's asking you to give what we can. And let's see what he does. Let's all stand. I have a word for somebody. Are you ready? I was asking God all along. I was asking when he started putting this in my spirit. This is not something I preach everywhere. This is one of my good sermons. I'd rather preach something that I'm very comfortable with. But I had a, God gave me a word, and I'm trying to figure out what's going on. God was telling me, he said, I just wait. I want to prove myself strong. So it's not by revelation. I know that there are people, there are couples here that want children. I want to build your faith right now. You ready? I'm just going to tell you how the limit is on us and not God. Are you ready? About 2 years ago, I had a couple. They started coming through the prayer line. I stopped them one evening. Sunday night is our time where we pray for the sick. And I said, why are you still coming up here? She said, we want children. Now, what I knew that you don't know is that her husband had a brain tumor. And they had filled his body full of chemotherapy, which gives you the inability to not have children. He was no longer fertile. She, when she was early in her early 20s, had a baseball-sized fist in her uterus The doctors went in and took out the cyst. They said, you'll never have children. And if you do, it'll be one or two at the most because of the condition from surgery of your uterus. So we prayed, and they went to a fertility doctor. They went to a fertility doctor because they wanted children. Well, Brother Scott Shelton was there. And he said, what do you want? And he said, well, we want children. We've been to a fertility doctor. We need a child. And Brother Shelton said something so interesting to me. He looked at the couple and he said, how many do you want? How many do you want? And Jeremy was about to speak, and he looked at her and he said, I'm going to let her answer. She said, I want four. I want four. Okay. So he said he prayed. Fertility doctor, just a few months later, with the help of a fertility doctor, they had a little baby boy. His name's Judah. Because he is a praise in their heart. So we were standing a few weeks ago. Now remember, the doctors say only at the most one or two. Even in the fertilization, the doctor said, are you sure you want to go through with this fertilization process? Because you only have about a 10% chance of having a baby. And God made it 100%. So they decide they want a baby, but nothing. They walk up to me a couple Sundays ago, and they said, we got something we need to tell you. We said, yeah. Said, remember how we asked for four? Yeah. Remember how I can have one or two pregnancies at the most? Yeah. He said, we went to the doctor today. We're having triplets. With no fertility drugs. What are you saying? I'm saying you get what you ask for. God is not limited. Come on, I feel it here right now. Somebody needs to ask for something big. Who needs a miracle? Come on, I'm not going to beg you. You need to come crying out to God if you need a miracle. Come on, God's not limited. I'm not interested in what the naysayers have said. I'm interested in a God that is limitless. Come on, grab somebody by the hand. Say, we're going to move in faith with these that need a miracle. Come on, grab somebody. Come on, let your faith operate, move a little bit. Say, if I'm not moving for myself, I'm moving because I believe God can do something great for someone else. Oh, there it is. Come on, I loose the gift of healing. I curse barrenness. Come on, open the windows of heaven and pour out a blessing financially. Come on, put homes back together. Marriages back together. Hosotoyo Rabaha. Come on, use what you got right now. Use it. Yes, Lord, yes, Lord, yes, Lord, yes, Lord. Hoshotoya Rabba, Kotoya Rabba Hata. Come on, cry out to God. Come on, God can recover you. God can save you from your sin. You've not went too far. Come on, come on, come on. Come on, God's working right now, right now. Come on, God hears you. Come on, God hears you. Come on, that's it, that's it. Come on, if you're not down here, pray with somebody back there. Come on. Come on, we got to minister to somebody. God is not limited. Come on, he can move back there like he is up here. Come on, God's not limited. We're bringing what we can. We're bringing what we can. Come on, he's doing it. He's doing it. Hey! Horabakaya rabahashata. Come on, the operation of the gift of faith is in this house. Hush your toe.